Get Puck.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Get Pucks podcast. Vito and Matt here today. And I have a question for you, my man. Do you believe in curses? Are you superstitious at any capacity?
I wasn't, and I didn't. But 2 years in a row makes you change your mind a little bit.
I mean, I think it's going on 3 years at this point. But in case, for whatever reason, you guys don't know what we're kind of alluding to right now, two games in, on the third game of the season, Kirby Doc goes down with a season-ending injury. Kirby Doc, who was playing probably the best hockey of his career, was certainly the best forward on the team, was the captain of that second line with Newhook and Slafkovský, and was looking dynamite. Just absolutely all cylinders going. You can see the immediate chemistry. You can see the promise. This would have been something to have Habs fans kind of hold on to and be like, you know what? Don't make playoffs. Let's not even talk about that. Don't even have a lot of wins this season. Okay, fine. But if you can watch that line for an entire season, I think most people would have been like, yeah, that's something to tune in for. And it was taken from us, snatched from us, just like that. Three games into the season, already we're hearing and we're reading about people talking about the draft next year. The draft, Vito. We're four games technically in, and already people are like, "Oh, who's the consensus number one next year?"
I don't blame them. So you have already the notion and the concept that we're in a rebuild. Then you lose our number two center, which some have even predicted early on that could even take over as a 1C. And with the way Suzuki has been playing lately.
Oh, he's been playing much better than Suzuki.
Yeah, he's been playing better than Suzuki. Then you hear that Gouley is hurt, and we don't know what the extent is of those injuries yet.
Oh, I haven't even opened that box yet. Yeah.
At the time of this recording, we don't know what the Gouley injury is like. Then you look at Laval, and you're like, okay, Emil Heinemann is out indefinitely with likely a concussion. Last night, Logan Mailloux took a bit of a hit and was holding his shoulder. And while he did come back to the game, you have to think he's a bit banged up there, and hopefully it's nothing too serious. But you're hearing all these things piling up, and
the season
just started. So yeah, then there's Reinbacher over in the Swiss leagues, and fortunately, it's not a fracture. It's a 1 to 3 week injury. It's not that bad, but still, you're seeing these things happening, and you can't help but to start talking about the draft next year, because like I said, we were already in rebuild. So it's like, okay, we were already talking about the draft. Now add these injuries to it and add the shaky goaltending that the Montreal Canadiens have been getting lately, and it's a perfect storm for us to be able to talk about the draft at the early part of the career, at the season. That being said, it's a little early, guys. You know, things can still happen. There's a lot of star players across the NHL right now that are having very slow starts, and people are already, you know, crossing them out for the year.
Who cares about them? No.
I understand.
I don't care about the other teams. I don't care about slow starts.
It's slow right now. That's what I'm saying.
The problem here is there was already shaky ground to stand on at the beginning of the season. Most people expecting the Habs to finish towards the bottom of the standings, which means tremendous amount of losses throughout the season. That doesn't make for normally exciting, you know, product. And so when you don't look for your team to win games, you have to look for what we talked about an episode or two ago. What are the kind of storylines that you should tune in for? And so right off the bat, we were like, oh, is Suzuki going to be a point of game player? Now four games in, so let's not take it too far here, but he is not looking great. Caulfield, he's scoring. At least you still got that. Knock a whole bunch of wood, everybody right now, and hopefully that he stays healthy. But then that second line really catapulted to the top of the list of things that you'd want to tune in for and watch. You got to see Slafkovský actually start to more often than not show glimpses of what he was drafted first overall for. And that was a direct product of playing with Doc as his center, who was playing as good as he was playing. And so it's such a gut punch. And of course, you mentioned Gouley too, which, you know, this kid seems to be getting hurt a lot in his young career. And it's, you know, it's a little bit cause for concern. Granted, you mentioned there was rumors out there that it could be 6 to 8 weeks. And then that got changed to maybe week 1 to 2 weeks. We currently, at the time of this recording, Don't know exactly his timeline that he's out, but he's still hurt. One way or another, it seems like it was a wrist injury or something. He's still hurt. That's another guy down. You know, this, of course, has nothing to do with the change of the medical staff. These are freak things that happen. The because I keep reading this, like, oh, the medical staff didn't make a difference. I mean, guys get hurt. The medical staff's sort of implication in this is how fast do they rehab? How fast do they get back out there and don't get hurt again? Because that was the main problem that we were noticing last time, that guys would get hurt and then they'd come back and then they get hurt again and then they're done. I'm thinking of Sean Monahan, for example.
Okay, but the positive side to this, if you want to look for one, is that at least they're young and they're they can recover a little quicker than somebody who's older. And it's a bit more like I'm trying to look at this from a, like, you know, find the silver lining in all of this.
I don't know if there is.
It's hard, but it's much harder for a person, no matter what the injury is bad, especially when you have a torn ACL, MCL in Doc's case. But when you have a torn ACL, MCL, and you're in your 30s, as you can see with somebody like Carey Price, it's really hard to recover from, if ever at all. You know, a kid who's in his early 20s, you know, has a bit of a better chance to recover from that than somebody that's in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Later on in their lives.
No, for sure.
Retired.
It's a paper thin silver lining. I'll give you that. Like, oh, would it be worse if Doc was 10 years older? Yeah, of course. Cause it could be career ending possibly. You don't even know. So fine. But in reality, these are very important developmental years still for a guy like him.
Of course.
He needs to play. And now he's going to not play for an entire year. So who knows what this is going to do for his ceiling? Is once it heals, even it will he be back to 100%? Who knows? I mean,
That's going to be part of the rehab.
But it's just such how he rehabs,
depends how he strengthens the muscles around his knees. And so, anyways, either ways, we're not doctors. I can only base myself on my own experience with certain injuries that I've had throughout the course of my life. But I'm not an athlete. I'm not an NHL player who has to go through the stress, the stresses of being hit, physical contact, the speed, the way a knee should bend and should not bend. Like, I don't have to do that. So no,
for sure.
I hope for the best for Kirby, but I'll say this, Montreal recently was rated as one of the teams with the better prospect pools in the NHL. But if their players keep getting hurt this way, what does it matter how good their prospect pool is? So there's something weird going on there where they're getting hurt. I don't know if it's the way that they're training. I don't know if obviously we can attribute some of it to freak accidents, like the last couple of injuries that we listed earlier on in the episode. Those are just freak accidents. Yeah. This is not, you know, somebody who had poor conditioning and showed up and just got hurt because they didn't prepare in the offseason. These are just freak accidents. Gouley's injury, freak accident. Kirby Doc's injury, when you looked at the hit itself, while it sucked to see that he got thrown over the bench, you're seeing a big boy like him going over the bench, getting hit by Montreal's former pick. It sucks to see that. But when you looked at it that way, you wouldn't have ever thought that, okay, he tore his ACL and MCL on that.
Yeah, but you know what? Freak or not, I mean, yes, I don't think anybody's getting injured due to lack of conditioning. Of course not. But the fact remains, these players are still getting hurt. And it's really starting... And again, you can't do anything about it, but it's really starting to kind of, I imagine, wear thin on the Habs fans that are out there. I mean, again, we all bow our heads to the notion that, okay, it's a rebuild, it's official, it was said, it's going to be a couple more years for sure until real competitive play and pushes for playoffs and Stanley Cup come. But in the meantime, there has to be a product that's put out on the ice that gives the fans something to look at. And while two games in, it was, you know, overtime loss in the first game and a win the second game, you know, things were like, okay, they're not going to win all their games and they're not going to not lose, but it was exciting hockey. You were watching fun goals. You were watching good play. And I mean, we'll get to and address the goalie situation in a second here, but just for this to be taken away so soon, I guess is the real, real gut punch when I think about it. I mean, everybody will admit injuries happen. Injuries pile up throughout the season. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you weren't going to go a whole season without seeing some players take some time off. But three games in, it had to happen. Three games in. I mean, but that's such a, like...
This is, it's out of everybody's control, man.
No, but it's just, I'm just saying, it's like, look at what has been happening to this team over the last 2 years, 3 years now.
It's the cup run.
But it's, and somebody keeps making jokes about the cup run, about like who made the deal with the devil to get that cup run. And now now we're paying the price for it. I mean, you know, again, I come back to, you know, how superstitious are you? So I don't know. But one thing
I will say this, it's quite the coincidence that since that cup run, there have been players who have not been the same. There are players who have been basically
retired.
Retirement.
Yeah.
There are players who seem to still be getting hurt now, even those that weren't even part of that cup run. It's just injuries happen in the NHL, but it's really concerning, and it's quite the coincidence when you see the man games that Montreal has had to injuries last year, and now it's like the start of the season, and they're already starting.
It's a record. We're on the pace. Man games lost.
Montreal is currently on pace to beat last year's record.
Yeah, well, let's pray that that doesn't happen. I mean, it's bad enough that you lose Doc the way we lost him for an entire season. Gouley, fingers crossed that it's not a significant injury. But again, at the rate that this kid keeps getting hurt, it's kind of concerning. From my standpoint, you got players that are on the older side that, thankfully, right now, that hasn't happened yet. I'm thinking of Monahan. Not that he's old, but, you know, he's definitely an older guy on the team.
He's 29.
And after last season, he's 29. You hope that he has a full-length season, because now the other storyline that's developing is, okay, the second line got blown up. They've now had one game since Doc's injury, and it was an absolute disaster. Looked terrible.
It was a terrible game.
Primarily because of special teams. Newhook got another goal. Newhook looked okay. They put RHP on that top line, which is, you know, you look at a guy like him and, again, we liked what we saw before, but he was playing fourth line, and then he jumps to the first. I mean, you're going to try a bunch of different things. Anderson falls to the third. I mean, things are moving all over the place because Doc played such an integral part in the lineup. When Dvorak eventually comes back, I imagine things are going to change again. And that also kind of leads into something else that, I mean, people are clamoring for, like, oh, what's Kent Hughes going to do? Is he going to go out and trade? Is he going to go out and get? He's not going to do anything. I don't know who out there needs to hear this. He's not going to go and do a trade. He's not going to go pick up a vet. He's not going to do anything. He's got guys that are going to come back in November, a.k.a. Dvorak, which now replaces your center hole that you had there. So you're back to the same kind of team that you had. And even if another guy on defense goes down, you got a whole slew of guys that were just cut and didn't make it out of camp that are going to come back up.
They're going to play with what they have right now, because right now it's not the time to make a move. And plus, it's not easy to make a trade right now. Everybody's against the cap. And typically when trades do happen, barring like the minor league trades and all that, is usually right after American Thanksgiving, maybe closer to the Christmas break, just before the Christmas break. So if there's going to be a move, it's going to be there. And the only way I could see him making a move, given that there's certain players like Joshua Roy knocking on the door, Norlander knocking on the door, you know, Justin Barron is there, and so on, from a defense perspective, obviously. Given that those players, I don't think they're going to go and just rush to acquire players right now. They're not, while they want to see progression, they're not competing for the Stanley Cup. They're not competing for a playoff spot anyway.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it wouldn't. So, you know, the way I see it, we know that Doc's out for the season, is that when Dvorak is ready to go, he's going to take over the 3C role, and Monahan's going to move up, and Newhook will shift to the left again. And that's who's going to replace Doc on the second line, is going to be Monahan. And you know what? He can do it as long as he stays healthy. Monahan is talented and skilled enough to be able to replace Doc on the second line. Is it ideal? No, you don't want that, because we wanted to see Doc take the next step. We wanted to see the way that chemistry that was going on with Slavkovsky. That's what we wanted to see more of in a rebuild year, or in the continuation of this rebuild. But as I'll take Monahan in the second line as a second line C.
Well, and you're saying exactly the point I'm trying to make here. I don't understand why anybody would go out and suggest that there needs to be some sort of acquisition on the team. You have the pieces right there to continue relatively balanced lines, and you even have guys on the AHL that can come up, and they were knocking the door right out of camp.
But I just want to add something that I know there's players from the AHL. Everyone's gonna come up and think Joshua Roy, because he's been on fire while he's been in Laval. but I'd leave those players there in Laval to get their proper minutes in the top six. Because if you're going to call up players such as him to play fourth line or even be a healthy scratch, there's no point. And that's why I think Kent Hughes is not calling up anybody, because right now they're under the 23-man roster. I think they're at 21 right now. So they could, theoretically, they could call up players. They've got the cap space to do it. They're just not going to do it because agreed. There's no point. You're not going to hinder those players' development in the time and the minutes that they're eating and they're getting to just fill up a spot in the NHL or have a backup plan in case another person gets it. Right now, Pezzetta's there. He's playing. He played on the fourth role. He's showing some hard character, being tough, you know, things of that nature. Two fights in one game. He's playing the way that we expect Pezzetta to play, right? So he's there. But if another injury does happen on either forward or defense, then yes, there's going to be a call-up. I do think that they're going to call up somebody depending on Gouley's injury and the extent of his injuries. But right now, it's just things are going to shift over. You're going to see Barron come into play because he's already been upstairs eating hot dogs. And you're just going to see Harris go back to his left position, and Jack Eye is going to, like, they're just going to play with those players. Right now, there's just nobody in reserve.
But the point is, you're using your reserves now. So you don't keep going forward and keep another backup reserve to your reserves in case they get injured. Well,
of course.
I mean, it'd be nice in a perfect world, but to your point, you got the guys that are down in Laval. They should stay there. They should keep getting the minutes like you were suggesting. But the whole point is, again, going back to what I've been seeing, is this notion that, oh, what is Kent Hughes going to do? What is Gorton going to do now that Doc is down? What are they going to go out and get? And I'm scratching my head thinking to myself, why are people talking about gets? It just doesn't make sense. So anyways, I think we both see that exactly on the same page.
I don't think there's anything available right now to replace what Doc was bringing. What there is and what exists out there is internally, actually.
No, it's all internal stuff. It just makes no sense. I just wanted to bring light to the fact that people are saying this. And if you're listening and you're one of the people that think they should go out, I'd love to see in the comments why. Disagree with what we're saying? And well, less important about what, because there's always a what. Why? Just why? If you are one of those people, please let us know in the comments. I'd love to read why you guys think that would be
and you know what
the team should do.
And you know what? I mentioned Monahan taking the 2C when Dvorak comes back. It could be goes wing if Newhook continues to progress and produce as a center. Because when they traded for him to have that versatility of being a center and a winger. So yeah, he can play both
on the top line. Absolutely. If RHP isn't doing it there and they need, I'm actually kind of thinking about Caulfield and Suzuki maybe finally breaking that up again. I know a lot of people suggested, and I know the analytics suggest that they're better apart. And while the eye test and the off-ice chemistry is obviously off the charts, and that's why we want to see them together, and they're your number one winger and your number one centerman at the moment, it would make logical sense to keep them together. The fact that Suzuki is off to a relatively slow start, I think he's got one assist in the four games, and he hasn't quite looked, eye test-wise, very good. It might be worth doing a real big blender and kind of mixing up those lines.
I disagree. I think the majority of the people who were suggesting that maybe Caulfield and Suzuki should be broken up was for Caulfield to play with Doc, and Doc's not there anymore, so you keep things as is. That people wanted to see Caulfield and Doc together with the way Doc plays, that they felt they could complement each other very well, and I don't think that's the case anymore because Doc's not there. So now you should keep Suzuki and Caulfield together. Again, the issue is who plays on the right side of Caulfield and Suzuki. It seems to be the same issue for the last 2 years, or at least while Caulfield has been there. That's the problem with that line, because Josh Anderson, obviously it didn't work. We know Slafkovský's not ready to do it just yet. Okay. You're putting RHP because RHP had chemistry with Suzuki last year when Caulfield went down and when all those injuries were happening. RHP is the Swiss Army knife. They could just, you know, do anything and everywhere and just plug him into any hole that you see on the team. But he's not ideal for that first line right winger.
I mean, if you're going to keep them together, I mean, I think there was a lot of success when Monahan was playing on the wing. But then again, you need him right now at center. So perhaps when Dvorak comes back, you can start to play with that again. That would be a nice solution. But listen, you're against it. I understand your standpoint, but I'd at a basic level, considering that you're not necessarily, especially now, looking to go for W's, you might as well look to see what's out there and what kind of chemistry you can build. And I know that they're trying to force this chemistry on ice to work because everything otherwise suggests that it should. But I would not necessarily be upset if suddenly I see everything changed. Let him go mad scientists on the lines and see what's really going on. Give everybody a shot for top minutes and see what you got going on.
Why not? Last time a coach did that with the Montreal Canadiens, he got crucified.
Fine. But that was because they were, quote unquote, competitive and trying to do something. Now, everybody knows this team is not going to make playoffs. And if they're not going to make playoffs, then what is the consolation prize of not making playoffs? Well, getting a higher pick in the draft lottery, or a higher lottery odds, I should say. But then in that case, if you're going to be tanking, if you will, get crazy with it. See what else you can do. Because if you're going to keep, like, if, for example, if Suzuki stays cold for another, I don't know, let's say 10 more games. 10 more games. That would be 14 games that he's had Caulfield on his wing, and he has little to show for it. And perhaps because of his poor play, Caulfield is not really lighting up the net so much. I don't know. Hypothetical. Are you supposed to just keep them together because you should keep them together? Why wouldn't you go and try to mix it up?
They do have chemistry. I think where the more pressing concern is, and I think a lot of people agree with me on this, is it's been a few years now. Power play is awful. Predictable.
Okay. Well, okay. So you want to open up that box? All right. So let's talk power play. And I have my garbage bin next to me here in case I need to throw up. The power play and the PK even is on another level of bad. It has been bad now for as long as I can remember. A lot of people are pegging the moment that it went really downhill was since Markov is gone. It's a long time. It's a long time for it to be bad. It's a long time for it to not have any kind of semblance of growth. But how often are you looking at your screen when you're watching the game and the power play starts and they get the puck and you're about to look and say, oh, they're going to do the drop back pass. They're going to do that back pass. They're going to do it. Here it comes, and there it is. And then the guy, whoever it is that gets the pass back in their own zone that starts to beeline he loses the puck. Or he doesn't make it through. And I mean, I'm telling you, this Minnesota game that just happened where they got two shorthanded goals on the same power play, that should have been it. That should have been the moment. And I'm not pointing blame like people are doing to Burrows or this or that. I don't care. Martin St. Louis came out and said that every bit of responsibility for power play, for everything, comes to him. And that's maybe him shouldering it for his guys, whatever.
Oh, it's 100% him shouldering it. It's 100%.
It's the whole staff.
Because, yeah, but who's the person who steps up to draw out the play when the power play is about to start?
I hear it's mostly
I know you don't want to blame the guy, but he's been there for a while now.
I don't care.
I do because that person is the one that's coaching the power play. That person is the one that's coming up with the strategy for that power play. And it's been the same strategy, never trying anything else. It doesn't matter what the personnel is on the ice. It's the same,
And it's super strategy. Frustrating. But Martin St. Louis is the head coach of the team. And if he doesn't like what he's seeing, he should be the one to tell Burrows, you got to change it. I don't like it anymore. Come up with a new strategy. And it hasn't happened. Now, you can't be telling me that the coaching staff was hired in such a way that Alex Burrows, if he's the only guy who's handling power play, has full autonomy to do whatever he wants. And no matter what anybody else says, they can't make any changes to it because it's his. That's not true. The fact remains it's the whole staff's fault. And I cannot understand why they're keeping the same strategy. It'd be one thing if we kept seeing different looks on the power play and it kept failing. Then you scratch your head, but at least you're like, okay, they're trying something. But I mean, my goodness, you go and look and you have children that are watching this game and they're like, oh, they're going to do that back pass, right? Like, it's as simple as that. You could have a child go and look.
Is that your child voice?
Listen, I could try to get it if you want. Yeah, I'm not. The point is, anybody who's anybody, literally couch potato guys that are just watching the game that have no semblance of real hockey strategy in their minds can see this and say, you know what? The Montreal Canadiens are going to do this back pass. That's their strategy. That's what they do. But that's they don't adapt. If they don't change.
If we, as the average couch potato or the average fan or you know, guys who host a podcast and all of that can see this night in and night out, that this is what's going to happen on the power play, imagine the 31 other teams.
Dude, pump your brakes. Because I will go and say that while you and I have no business really at the end of the day critiquing anybody in a professional capacity, the fact remains we consume a tremendous amount of hockey.
We do.
We see a lot of hockey. We watch a lot of hockey. We've been doing this for a long time. I'm telling you that people, my mother, who has no hockey, anything at all, could watch two games of the Montreal Canadiens, watch the power play and say, oh, didn't they just do that? Didn't they just do that? It's that obvious. It's that telegraphed. Why would you keep doing the same thing
I can tell you about last game is that when the second shorthanded goal happened, I was asked if that was a highlight of the first shorthanded goal.
I mean, it did happen 25 seconds apart. The second one was a bit more of a freak, but these things happen and they shouldn't be in their own end for it to have happened anyways, is the point. Because I know a lot of people are like, okay, the first one was a bad entry and then they stripped the puck from Suzuki and they scored. The second time around, you know, that weird thing off the Jack guy stick. The point is you're on the power play. You have the man advantage. What are you doing fighting for the puck right next to your own goalie? That's the problem. The problem with this team right now is, let alone you're doing something that just simply does not work, you are not even remotely trying different looks. And even if you say, oh, they're changing the personnel on the power play one and the power play two, who cares? You're still making them do the same thing. Teams know how to do it. You can see him rush as fast as he can all the way from the end, and you see the other team line up on the line every time. It's the same defense.
Yeah.
How? I mean, I almost, and I'm not saying this, but I almost want to go back to the days of the dump it. Almost. When on the power play, they used to get up to line, dump it in, and then chase after it. At least you're in the other end.
Yeah, but that might actually be worse because they don't have anybody to go in the corners to recoup.
I don't want it back. I don't want it back. I'm just saying that it's at some given point, those are the two types of strategies on the power play that stand out to me the most in recent history. The stupid dump in where they never caught the puck.
And to a defenseman for a shot. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, wow, man. I just can't understand it. I can't understand it for the life of me. It just doesn't make sense. And then it used to be that at least their PK was somewhat respectable.
Oh, there was
also
a year where
took a nosedive.
There was a year where their power play wasn't good, but their PK was like top of the league.
Was very good. It was like top five in the league or something. Now their PK also sucks. And the best part about this, and I say it sarcastically, but the best part about this, people might be like, okay, special teams, whatever. It, you know, how often does it happen? They're the most penalized team in the league right now. That's what's happened. It's insane.
That's
currently happening.
That is unacceptable. Getting penalties in the offensive zone the way that they've been getting them and some of them even being on the power play. You're on the power play in the offensive zone. How are you getting a penalty?
It's the
lack of discipline the last couple of games has been so bad, and it's so demoralizing for the players and for the fans. It's just like, what are you guys doing?
I know. And again, you come back to the same thing where it's like, if you look at the stats, and I'm not a stats darling necessarily, but I definitely don't turn my nose to analytics like a lot of other people do. So when I look at it, you got to look at the team in two capacities right now, because it's actually a really fascinating sort of analysis that you can do. When the team is at 5-on-5, they're one of the better teams, if not the top teams in the league. They are something like 7 goals for and 1 goal against or something in the 4 games that have been played. Something like that. That's really, really good. Then you turn and look on the other page. How do they perform both down a man and up a man? They are the bottom team of the league. If that is not something for you to go as a coaching staff and be like, we're going to have practice today. What should we work on? Well, we're one of the best at 5-on-5. Perhaps we put those drills away. How do we look on special teams? Oh, absolute dumpster fire. I have an idea. Let's spend all our time working on special teams. I mean, it's just it's remarkable how it's not being addressed in any way, shape, or form.
Eric Engels just tweeted an update on Gouley. Obviously, he's not at practice. His length of absence is still undetermined for now, anyway. So chances are we'll get an update after the practice is over. But meanwhile, as I mentioned before, the Habs still only have 21 players on their roster, so there's no call-ups at the moment.
Well, they have defensemen that are still up that are going to slot in. Like,
that's like we said, they're going to use the reserves.
I don't expect movements. Yeah, I don't expect movements. But
so actually, the latest update is, sorry, I was a bit outdated on this, is that Caden Gouley is day-to-day.
Day-to-day.
Which is not that bad.
Definitely better than what we were expecting, than some of the initial rumors that were out there for several weeks. So that's not too bad. But again, I come back to the same sort of concept behind a player like Gouley, where he is a tremendous talent and there's a lot of upside to this kid. And I like how he plays the game. The problem is, will he be one of those guys that are constantly injured? And so far, it is starting to go down that road and it is very concerning. And I don't know if it's just unlucky. I don't have all of his injuries in my mind right now to be like, oh, was that just an unlucky hit? Or does he put himself in positions where this ultimately is leading to injuries?
I think it's a bit of both, because there's certain plays that I've seen from the beginning of the season and even during preseason where he puts himself in slightly vulnerable positions and he gets, you know, hit in the numbers a little bit. That's happened at least twice from what I can remember, one of them being Reeves and one of them was during the preseason. However, that is not always the case, and I gotta say sometimes it's just bad luck for this guy.
Well, and you know what? Luck is a funny, funny thing, because some guys are blessed and they just never get injured their whole career. And then some guys have all the promise that you can have, and they're just unlucky. Wrong place, wrong time. Hits that would normally not be big deals, they somehow fall awkwardly. And I just hope that he isn't one of those guys in the long run, because it would be a terrible shame. There's a lot of promise to this kid. And same thing with Doc, same thing with the rest of them. I mean, this is already a second or third major injury for Doc. And he's 24. Like, that is super concerning stuff. So, I mean, it's mostly doom and gloom this episode, mostly rant, just some sort of getting a pulse on the situation. I kind of hope moving forward we're able to see. I mean, primarily the biggest change in my view that they have to address is the power play. It's just unbelievably frustrating to watch. And nothing is showing any semblance of progress there. So my hope is that that changes. So the next time we have one of these, we can say, oh, look, they've changed the power play. Oh, look, things are kind of moving better. That would be a nice thing, a nice kind of storyline. Caulfield scoring goals. He's doing Caulfield things. That's nice. Keep that
going.
Listen,
the whole season's not going to go as bad as the Minnesota game. There's going to be some entertaining hockey still. Yes, they lost the key piece with Kirby Dach. He was a part of that entertainment that we were expecting to see during the season. But it's not going to be as bad as that Minnesota game, you would think anyway. There's going to be some bad games because every team has bad games. It's a long, long season. But they're going to get their act together. You're going to see some entertaining hockey. At the end of the day, it's still Marty St. Louis coaching it. It's still the same, you know, the concepts he's trying to instill. It's still, you know, the personnel, most of them is still there. There's still a lot of players that we're looking forward to seeing and what they were going to do. And, you know, Newhook being one of them, Suzuki, is he going to get there's still a lot of those same storylines that we discussed last episode to look for. There's just one that has to do with Kirby Dach that we just have to put an X on and forget it, which was one of my predictions that he was going to have a breakout year and probably take over as the 1C. Maybe. Well, that's not happening. So
no,
let's all band together as Habs fans, support them, watch it. At the end of the day, we're still another rebuild year. Sure. It's still going to be some entertaining hockey, and we just want to see some progression. If they happen to give us entertaining hockey but still fall in the bottom five, then so be it. It's another year like that. If they don't and they come out 7, 8, 9, 10 like we predicted that they're going to be, and that was minus Doc, then we could look and say, hey, you know what? They did it without Doc. Imagine if Doc is there healthy and playing.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was putting them, I forgot exactly my number. What did I say? They were going to be
7th. I said 7th. You said, and I said 7th.
seventh from the bottom, ninth from the bottom, something like that. Without Doc, I'm putting them in the bottom five for sure. For sure. I think he's that important of a piece on this team. He brings that much of a different dimension to this team. And given that now you got the injuries that have after four games already, maybe it's going to be like that this season again. Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be a little bit down. But I mean, four games in, hockey's just back. I'm excited that hockey is back. There are still, to your point, storylines. I'm still going to be watching, obviously. I still suggest everybody to do the same. There are things out there to go to cheer for. Will they always be as bad as what we saw against Minnesota? Of course not. But I expect a lot more of those games now than I did before. And it's a shame. It's a shame. It's unfortunate. I'm not thrilled about it. But hopefully this is the limit.
I'll be a little more optimistic on this. I think we're still going to get very good hockey from them, and I don't think it's all doom and gloom. It sucks. They lost their number two C, but I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think there's going to be some good hockey to watch, and we'll see what happens with the Montreal Canadiens this season. But at the end of the day, what I can say, and maybe we can end off on this, is that given the injuries that have happened so far, it's very telling on the roster that it's still not there yet from a depth perspective. They are one injury away now, in my opinion, on either defense, probably less so on defense, but on forward, to really be like, okay, you really got to go start plucking from the Laval Rockets. You have no choice.
So, I mean, it's funny you say that. I don't want to dive into that. I kind of disagree. I mean, you're only four games in. I don't know if this is a testament to the lack of depth that they have yet. They have a lot of injuries. They had their main 3C wasn't even playing yet. There's a couple things there.
Again, you said it there. That's perfect. You said it there. It's their 3C. I think they got the pieces to fill in the bottom six. They don't have the depth to fill in the top six without having to go pluck Joshua Dwyer and say, hey, see what you can do at the NHL
level. No, not necessarily. I mean, we're diving into this and I wanted to end it here, but quickly, we knew that the Anderson experiment was likely not going to last very long. It wasn't a terrible idea to try it again, but it doesn't look like that's where he's supposed to be on this team, which means they really are missing either one guy to take a monumental step forward and be that top line pairing. And if it's going to be Suzuki in a year or whatever, Slafkovský, then all the better for it. But right now it's not. So they're missing that top guy. So that was a hole to begin with at the beginning of the season. You now look and say, oh, Doc went down and he was your 2C. If we had a problem with depth, then your 2C now would be looking like, I don't know, Jake Evans or something. And you'd be like, that is not good. Sean Monahan is a perfect replacement for Doc
right, at 2C Sean right Monahan, now. Sean Monahan's not playing there yet. That's what I'm saying. But again, what I said, we're one injury away. One.
Newhook's been really good. Yeah, we're one more injury away. I don't know. I mean, two major injuries to key pieces of your team. I think that would affect most teams in the NHL.
Well, either way, we don't have a major injury with Gouley. It would seem it's day-to-day, so for now it's just one major injury.
And I think defense is one of the main places on this team that you can really plug and play a lot of guys. A lot of guys out of camp did very
good.
That's
why I said it's not that bad on defense. It's not as bad on defense, but yeah. Anyway.
Lots to go on, lots to keep talking about, but we're going to save that for the next episode. For those that made it to the end, thank you so much for sticking around and watching and listening. I know we were Dave-less today, scheduling conflict. Hopefully he'll be with us on the next one. If you haven't, please like, subscribe, like we say every time. We really appreciate that. And of course, comment. What are your feelings now, four games into the season? Has it really been a damper? Are you going to continue to watch? Are you going to not watch as much? Are you still keeping tabs of certain storylines that were there and now you're more interested? Like Newhook, he's been a revelation. He's been doing very good so far. Wow. Will he keep it up? Slaff has been playing very well. Is he going to keep it up now that Doc is gone? Suzuki, is he going to turn it around? Caulfield show. And we didn't even get into goalies, which we'll talk about next time because that's also right around Halloween time. It's spooky. It's spooky in net right now. So anyways, thanks very much, everybody. So for Vito, I'm Matt. And this was
Get Pucked.